Spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the First Nations, Saanich First Nations, on whose traditional lands we are now assembled. Today we express thanks for the many blessings that each one of us in this congregation. I, for one, wish to acknowledge and honor each person present here today. We come from many backgrounds and corners of Canada and from the world at large, bringing with us a plentiful and fascinating assortment of insights and uplifting perspectives. Each of us is uniquely prepared for this sacred time and this brief moment we have together today. Shaped as we are by different geographical, hereditary, and cultural experiences, our very presence here today together makes each one of us a valued envoy to our growing UU spiritual community. Our thanks extends, of course, to those far away folks who are present by way of our live stream feed. We who are present here welcome those of you who are present out there in that ever-widening webbed world we talk about so much. You should know that we are experimenting with changing our provider to our live stream provider, that is, to YouTube. With the link posted on our live stream site. If you'd like to find out about the link, you can call the office later this week and get the password and all the details there. My name is Doug McGinnis, and I am deeply honored to serve as your worship associate today. Before we begin, it is my sad duty to inform you that Louise Coles, a husband of 50 years, passed away Monday afternoon. George has been struggling with significant health issues for some time, but his death was sudden. I understand that his final passing was at home and peaceful with Louise and a friend by his side. We stand firmly beside Louise during her time of profound and sudden loss. For anyone who wishes to extend their support to Louise by way of a card, a shared card has been prepared for us at the back of the sanctuary. Another announcement, we have a card for John Dalgetty as well at the back of the room. He has broken his hip and we wish him a speedy recovery. So if you wish to sign that card as well, please, you're invited to do so. Now, I have another few short announcements. For any folks who are new or recently arrived at our church, you are invited to attend a newcomer orientation led by Reverend Shauna. This will happen between 12:15 and 1:15 today in the farmhouse common room, which is in the building just across the driveway. So that's just out this door and across the roadway. A light lunch will be provided, and child minding is available in the We Care room, which is on this level at the far end of the children's wing. I believe it's down this way. And for jazz or music lovers, another jazz vespers will be held tonight here in Sanctuary at 7 o'clock. Tonight's performance will feature Maureen Washington, and I believe it's a quartet. Even if you can't decide whether to dress cool or hot for this special occasion, don't miss out on this music opportunity that is definitely billed to be something to be thankful for. And today we have a surprise announcement regarding cell phone usage during the service. This will be a real shocker. Details are scant at this point, but I dare say use of your phone may be encouraged later on. So please turn your phone to silent mode, but don't turn it all the way off, please. And finally, please join our other members of the congregation after the service for conversation and coffee, tea and treats in the Lion Hall. For the novice Lion Hall hunters, you'll find it at the end of the corridor, which begins at the back of the sanctuary. And so at this point, I'd like to call upon Shirley, Travis, and Oliver Belisle to say a few words about our annual budget campaign.
We've experienced intense realizations, we've received wisdom, insight, and inspiration. So on behalf of my family, and from the bottom of my heart, I thank you.
Over here are going to lead, and then the second time I'm going to come over here and we're going to sing the lead and you both sing the response. Does that work? Hit it, Braden.
Oh, we give thanks for this precious day, for all gathered here and those far away. Precious day.
October 24th, shortly after the end of World War II, the United Nations was born. 51 nations joined together to work toward peaceful solutions to world conflicts. There are now 193 member nations. It has not been easy, but did you listen to the words of the choral prelude? Step by step, the longest march can be won. Many stones can form an arch, singly none. And by union, what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill, singly none. It's not easy, but it's so much better when we work together. Today, let us light our chalice in gratitude for the power of community and cooperation. It is with the help of one another that we can bring the light of peace, hope, and healing to our hurting world. Nancy Hemstock will kindle the flame of our faith. If there are any children out there in the chairs who would like to come forward now, you may come join others on the quilt. Hello! Light attendance this morning because of Thanksgiving. I appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for coming. When Reverend Shauna and I were away on sabbatical last spring, one of the things we got to do was visit a place we had never been to before, the Netherlands. And while we were in the Netherlands, we got to see something called the Peace Palace. It's the building in The Hague where the United Nations holds their International Court of Justice. It's like a court for the whole world. We didn't get to go inside the Peace Palace, but when we explored the area out front, we came upon this. You see that pillar in the middle? That is a world peace flame. In 1999, that's the pillar in the middle, in 1999, seven flames from five different continents were united to create the World Peace Flame. That flame was then used to light World Peace Flames at peace centers and monuments all over the world, including this one that we saw. 5 years later, every country came together to build that peace pathway around the flame. Each country brought a stone from their own land as a sign of their nation's yearning for and commitment to peace. There are 198 stones in all. There's a chart that tells you which stone is from which country. I looked up Canada, it's number 31. There's our stone, you can't see it so well. This one. Right there. And then right there. The gray stone with reddish stripes. Look at all those countries longing for peace. As you walk the path around the flame, you're invited to add your own prayer or wish for peace. I mentioned the United Nations earlier. Nearly all of the countries of the world joining together to try to work for the good of the whole planet. Canada has a voice at the UN. Unitarian Universalists also have a voice at the UN. We have a special office called the UUUNO, the Unitarian Universalist United Nations Office. The UUUNO helps us to speak up for our principles on international issues, including our desire to find peaceful ways to settle conflicts. On this day that we lift up the work of the UUUNO, and inspired by the peace pathway, I thought we could do a little UU peace ritual ourselves. I have a bowl of stones. So you guys, if you would like people to stop fighting, if you would like people to work out arguments with words only, no hitting, no hurting, no killing, if you believe that it's okay to disagree but it's not okay to hurt people, if you would like to work toward peace, I invite you to take a stone from this basket and place it in a circle around the base of our chalice. I know we don't have that many kids this Thanksgiving weekend, so if some of the grown-ups would like to help, that would be great too. We dedicate these stones that encircle the flame of our faith in the name of our sixth principle. We affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Blessed be. Thank you for listening. You can go to your programs now as the grown-ups stand, form the arches, and sing you on your way.
For the first time today, please accept our warmest welcome and a special thanks for joining us. If you are a visitor, a newcomer, or perhaps just an old friend who is returning after a long time away, and if you fancy introducing yourself, please accept our unlimited time offer to do just that. It is possible that now might not be the best time to introduce yourself, because the very best time to introduce yourself is when it feels good for you. If now is that time, please hold your hand high and wait for
Peter.
Sorry, Peter, to bring you the microphone so that everyone, including the folks at home, can hear you speak. I should remind you to hold this particular microphone close to you when you speak.
Yeah, I'd just like to introduce my parents, Owen and Beverly Edwards, who've come over from the Vancouver area to be with us this Thanksgiving.
Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Bagshaw. My wife, Jin, who is not here today, are from Winnipeg. We came from the First Unitarian Church of Winnipeg, and I'm very happy to be here for my first day.
Welcome, Jim. So, after the service, newcomers are invited to join us at the visitors' table that is located right here. I don't know who will be at the table this morning, but you're welcome to come, and Carla will be doing it this morning. Also, as I mentioned earlier, any newcomers are most welcome at the orientation that Reverend Shauna will be leading after the service. And so to begin the next song, I invite you to stand and join in singing, as you're able, hymn number 134, Our World is One World.
This morning comes from the World Peace Flame website. It is their healing meditation. Breathe in, breathe out. If you feel comfortable doing so, close your eyes. Relax your body and focus on your breath for a few moments, allowing the natural rhythm of your breathing to bring a deep sense of relaxation to you. Begin to think of a situation of conflict or unrest and construct a picture of it at heart level in front of you. The situation could be with someone you love or perhaps of something that is happening in the world. Something that needs healing. Once this picture has formed, imagine you are breathing in a golden light from a space above the crown of your head. Breathe this light down through the crown and into your heart. As you breathe out, send this light from your heart toward the picture in front of you. Continue this for several breaths, breathing in and drawing a golden glow through the crown to the heart. Breathing out and sending this light toward the picture in front of you. As the light touches the people or places involved, see the pain and suffering begin to dissolve and peace gradually take its place. Watch smiles and relief coming into the faces of the people in your picture.
When you feel the transformation is complete, allow the image in front of you to fade. Take your awareness to the golden glow which has built up around the heart and simply rest in silence. Those of you who wish to do so are invited to come forward to light candles of remembrance and hope. You'll notice that we're just doing candles now, not the offering. If you don't wish to light a candle, you're invited to use this quiet time for your own meditation or quiet reflection.
ethnic differences and bigotry that bubbled just below the surface, but I always hoped that the peace this rich country enjoyed would continue indefinitely. Obviously, this did not happen. He continues, when Yugoslavian President Josip Broz Tito died, different political factions jockeyed for position, and the inevitable happened, civil war. Suddenly, my friends were pitted against each other. Serbian brother would not talk to Croatian sister-in-law. Bosnian mother disowned Serbian son-in-law, and so it went. Meanwhile, all I could do was stay glued to the TV back in the States and sink deeper into a sense of hopelessness. Finally, one night, I began channeling these deep feelings into a wordless melody. Then, little by little, I added words. Can you hear? Can you feel? I started with these feelings. Sensations that the children struggling to live in this difficult time might be feeling. Serbian, Croatian, and Bosnian children all felt the same feelings of confusion and sadness. It was for them that I wrote this song.
Can you hear? In the shadow of an unknown room. depth of the tragedy and sorrow of each event, we would be immobilized. We wouldn't be able to get out of bed and do what needs to be done, take care of the kids, go to work, buy the groceries, do the laundry, fix the microphones.
So we can become totally numb. There's also a halfway numb coping strategy we sometimes use. We allow our head to acknowledge the tragedy without letting it too deep into our heart. But other times, the coping strategies break down. Little holes in that protective shell. The reality of the tragedy seeps in, and we do feel it. Just this week, when I was researching the background of that song, Prayer for the Children, I came across photos of the Bosnian War, and I was undone. I didn't even look at the pictures that showed dead bodies. There was one of a father in Sarajevo hurrying to cross a pedestrian area that was known as one of the worst areas for sniper attacks. He was running across, carrying his child sideways, so the child's head and chest would be right here in his chest, and the little legs kind of dangling out. The fear, I could just feel the fear of that parent. That was 20 years ago, and it's happening all over now, right? All of these different areas that are torn by conflict have parents who are scared because they can't protect their kids. Another photo showed a boy and his mother in a bus window, crying as they put their hands up to touch the inside of the window, where the father of the family put his hands on the outside of the window, saying goodbye just before the bus took the mother and son out of the city to a presumably safer location. Maybe you have had those moments too, when you hear of suffering in the world due to war or violence, and it just crushes you. Maybe you felt this way when learning about some of the victims of last week's shooting in Las Vegas. There's plenty about which to despair. Wikipedia keeps a list of ongoing armed conflicts in the world. These conflicts are grouped according to the death tolls in the current and past year. I know you won't be able to read the print, but I'll show you the charts just to give you a sense of the scope of it. I mean, I knew this, but it's something to see it. Here are the four conflicts in which, in either last year or this year, more than 10,000 people have been killed. As you might predict, it includes Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Here are the 11 conflicts in which, last year or this year, between 1,000 and 10,000 people have been killed. It includes the Somali Civil War, the war in Darfur, and ethnic violence in South Sudan. And here are the 29 conflicts in which, last year or this year, between 100 and 1,000 people have been killed. All those numbers, each one was a human life with a full story. Each person was someone's child. Each person developed their own particular character, interests, and passions, relationships with family and friends. Each person killed leaves a hole in the fabric of the love that binds human community. Each person lost is cause for a vortex of grief swirling about them. No wonder we feel overwhelmed. In preparing for this, our annual service on the work of the Unitarian Universalist United Nations Office, I learned that the UNO focus for this year is disarmament. Talk about overwhelming. As you may recall, just this past July, the UN voted to adopt a treaty banning nuclear weapons. 122 nations agree that nuclear weapons should be illegal by international law. When I first read this, I was encouraged. But then I learned, as you also may recall, that the countries that actually have nuclear weapons, like the US, Russia, and the UK, refuse to be a part of the vote. Great. What good does that do, then? My sense of hopelessness and, frankly, fear just increased as the summer progressed. Shauna and I were stuck waiting out delays in airports in August during one of Trump's showdowns with Korea. The airport TVs were set to CNN, which played in an interminable loop their best fear-mongering sound bites. I know it is a deliberate media tactic to retain viewership, but it also seemed a legitimate concern that one or the other of these blustering, power-hungry man-children was going to start something that would end the world. I've always been a pessimist, so it's easy for me to go to a bleak place. I recently read the novel called The Road, which is set in a post-nuclear war world in which the few humans who have survived are scavenging during a sustained nuclear winter that has killed plants, animals, and the warmth of the sun. It seemed devastatingly possible. So what the heck are we supposed to do? What is the spiritual challenge here? How are we supposed to move forward in the face of such fear and despair? I would love to hear about your coping mechanisms and spiritual practices. I know so many of you have been social activists for such a long time, and you keep on keeping on. I'll start the conversation by sharing a couple of mine. First of all, on a very small-scale individual level, there's this. I tell myself, well, I'm not dead yet. One thing I do, again, on an internal, personal level, is I try to appreciate what I have while I still have it. I heed the advice of spiritual leaders who advise us to practice gratitude. Love your loved ones, cherish them, and express that love. If you are fortunate enough to have food and shelter, get in touch with any gratitude you might feel about that. This came to me easily while I was reading that nuclear winter novel. I appreciated with extra intensity my warm bed and eating things like eggs and cheese and apples. Perhaps you've noticed that sometimes getting in touch with gratitude for what we have invokes in us a sense of generosity. We are grateful for what we have, and thus we are happy to share it with others who might not have as much. Gratitude and generosity, two sustaining spiritual practices. What else? There's a German saying I keep coming back to for inspiration. If I knew that the world would end tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today. If I knew that the world would end tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today. Whether we live full lives into old age or whether we die tomorrow, whether or not we succeed in staving off nuclear war, the question remains, while we are here, what kind of life do we want to live? What kind of person do you want to be? This is what I told that pessimistic part of myself. Whether or not we have the ability to achieve world peace, don't you want to be the kind of person who at least moves us in that direction? Don't you want to be the kind of person whose actions move us closer to building a kinder, more compassionate world? There's an organization highlighted by the UNO called Global Zero. They have organized international leaders and grassroots civilian support to increase pressure for total nuclear disarmament, Global Zero. I was struck by this one point made on their website. Question: what are the greatest barriers to achieving Global Zero? Answer: there are no insurmountable technical barriers to achieving Global Zero. nor are there financial barriers. Indeed, nuclear weapons cost $1 trillion globally per decade. The barrier is political. It is a matter of the leaders of the nuclear powers acting with urgency and resolve. End quote. No technical barriers. No financial barriers. When do we say that? No financial barriers. It comes down to a matter of will. We have to want to do it. Back in 2009, Barack Obama made a speech in Prague, though sadly he is no longer in charge. The points he made about fixing our will on disarmament are still true today. GlobalZero.org made a video that includes actors and regular people speaking up and agreeing with the worthiness of this goal.
Today, I state clearly and with conviction America's commitment to seek the peace and security of
a world without nuclear weapons.
Of a world without nuclear weapons.
This matters to people everywhere.
Some argue that the spread of these weapons cannot be stopped, cannot be checked.
Such fatalism is a deadly adversary.
For if we believe that the spread of nuclear weapons is inevitable,
then in some way we are admitting to ourselves that the use of nuclear weapons is inevitable.
To denounce a call for cooperation
is an easy but also a cowardly thing to do. That's how wars begin.
That's where human progress ends.
But make no mistake,
when we fail to pursue peace,
then it stays forever beyond our grasp.
Forever beyond our grasp.
Forever beyond our grasp.
It will take patience
and persistence.
But we must ignore the voices who tell us
the world cannot change.
Human destiny will be what we make of it.
Let us bridge our divisions,
build upon our hopes,
and accept our responsibility
to leave this world.
To leave this world
more prosperous.
More prosperous.
And more peaceful than we found it.
And more peaceful than we found it.
And more peaceful than we found it.
My name is Christoph Waltz.
My name is Alec Baldwin.
My name is Naomi Watts.
Morgan Freeman.
Martin Sheen.
Robert De Niro.
Billy Kravitz.
And I demand
zero.
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 Zero. I demand zero.
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 I demand zero.
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 I demand zero.
Zero.
I demand
zero.
Zero.
I demand zero.
My name is Michael Douglas, and I demand zero.
The world must stand together to prevent the spread of these weapons.
The website gives you the option to add your name to a list of people who demand zero. The idea is to share the video, encouraging more people to sign on and become active in the cause. I also find hope in programs that train youth in peacemaking efforts. One of my favorite organizations is Seeds of Peace, which began by bringing together Israeli and Palestinian youth to work toward mutual understanding and peace building. Now, Seeds of Peace runs leadership programs in other international communities divided by cultural, ethnic, and racial conflict, from the United States to South Asia to Europe. Seeds of Peace alumni go on to take significant leadership roles in peace-building efforts all over the world. Their tagline says, "We inspire and cultivate new generations of global leaders to transform conflict. We believe that young people have the courage and capacity to change and to lead change." The Global Zero organization I mentioned earlier runs a year-long program for youth that trains and empowers them to do grassroots organizing and political advocacy for disarmament. Here is the one-minute video that gives you a sense of what they do.
You should consider joining Global Zero Action Corps if you are looking to build your activist toolkit.
If you like challenging yourself.
If you are an activist with a vision.
If eliminating nuclear weapons is something that you're passionate about or even remotely curious about.
If you are passionate about changing the world.
If you like leading and inspiring other people.
Young people can actually make a difference when it comes to eliminating nuclear weapons.
The most important thing Action Corps has taught me is
how to be a leader and how to maintain being a leader.
Organizing people and organizing events and learning how to public speak.
How to be compassionate and how to talk about an issue that seems really hard and really scary.
Being able to go up to anyone and talk to them about a cause that's very important.
Writing letters to the editor, lobbying officials.
You really get to feel proud at the end of the day with what you're able to do and what you're able to inspire in other people to do.
Now I think I fully realize the power and the value of my own voice.
There's a network all over the world of people who care about this issue.
We get to save the world from nuclear devastation, so it's a great motivator.
With the right team and the right tools and a lot of dedication, change is possible.
That's where I find my hope. Our own UUUNO is also involving and empowering youth in leadership for change. They run an intergenerational spring conference every year on a different topic of focus. This year's focus was disarmament, which encompasses gun control as well as nuclear weapons. Previous years have addressed on a global scale topics such as climate change, immigration, indigenous rights, and the intersection of racism and income inequality. It gives me hope to see our UU youth learning not only about the issues, but also how to be effective activists. I should point out, too, that the learning is two-way. Our young people are treasure troves of information when it comes to using social media and other technology in activism and organizing. A little plug for the other work done by the UUNO. For a small operation, they do a surprisingly large amount of good work. The executive director, Bruce Knott, chairs and co-chairs and serves on a bunch of committees that work with other NGOs at the UN on issues such as human rights, anti-racism, disarmament, climate change, women's empowerment, and more. So those are the things that help me lean away from despair and into hope. When I can, I try to practice gratitude and generosity. Appreciate what I have while I have it, and share with others. I remind myself that whether my time on Earth is short or long, I would like to do what I can while I'm here to move us closer to more compassion, less violence. If the world is going to end tomorrow, I will still plant a tree today. In Obama's words, when we fail to pursue peace, then it stays forever beyond our grasp. It will take patience and perseverance. We must ignore the voices who tell us that the world cannot change. Lastly, in particular, I feel hopeful about supporting the inspiring work of activist youth and the programs that empower them, including the UUUNO. I would love to hear what keeps you hopeful, what sustains you as you do your part to heal what is broken in our world. And feel free to share your ideas with one another. We feel better and we accomplish more when we work together. For now, let's stand as able and join in singing hymn number 159.
Peace, Lord, and the Father. Good morning. My name's Jim, and I'm your envoy. I became interested in the United Nations at school, and again when Nancy and I went to live in Uganda for a few months. I always thought that working for the UN would be like getting called up to the major league. In this room, we've heard about the High Commissioner for Refugees, the World Food Program, the United Nations Development Fund. There are a lot of other agencies. There's the World Bank, there's the International Monetary Fund, there's UNESCO, the World Health Organization, the International Labor Organization, and a lot more. But these are organizations made up of human beings, and any organization needs a conscience. And I think that's what the UUUNO is. They were there when the Universal Declaration for Human Rights was written. They were instigators in establishing the International Criminal Court. They were responsible for getting sexual orientation on the agenda. And they have wonderful programs for youth. You could do far worse than getting your kids or your grandkids an internship at the UNO. Our church has a special relationship with the UNO. We're a blue ribbon contribution, and that means that we do events like this, and we make a special collection every year to support their work. The ushers are going to come around. They've got these little envelopes, and inside the envelopes, a dwarf wrote a little receipt. You might find that a bit awkward, but you could write a check. You could put the check in the envelope. If you want a receipt, you can write your contact information. At the social responsibility table in the hallway, you could find a brochure, which also contains an envelope if you wanted, if now wasn't the right time for you. If you need a little more time, I should make the point, you can make the checks out to the Canadian Unitarian Council, or just CUC. Put it in here. If you need a little more time, I'll be waiting around after the service. Don't worry that the Hawks aren't playing until 1 o'clock. Thank you for your time. Be the change that you want to see.
Our closing words are from Adrienne Rich. My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed. I have to cast my lot with those who, age after age, perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. So may it be.
Please stand, hold hands and join in singing our farewell song. carry the flame. The words are in your words and on the screen.